God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. What happens when troubles and burdens come upon you? Are you one of those people who quickly goes to our Lord and Savior and say, Lord, help me? Are you one of those people who ask for help when you realize that you're in trouble, not just from the Lord, but even from other people? I will admit, earlier this spring, we had to move one of our lilac bushes in our backyard. We dug around it. We dug the hole that it was supposed to go to. And my wife and I were kind of struggling, and we just were not moving it very well. Quickly came to a realization. I needed help. One of my neighbors was out, and I said, hey, neighbor. Actually, I called him by his first name. I said, you got a minute? And he said, yeah. He came on over. We moved that without any problem, no hesitation. It was just perfect. But how many of us would admit that we actually would need help? You see, one of the problems we run into is that we get very, very independent. You know, fair enough, from as far as I can remember, age 2 or 3, my mom was teaching me that independence. And each and every day, I'd become a little bit more independent. But then there comes a time in my life I have to realize I still need to be dependent upon someone or something else in certain circumstances. But how easy is it for us to admit, I need help? Our text from today, from Numbers chapter 11, we have Moses, the Moses. The Moses who God called from the burning bush. The Moses who parted the Red Sea at God's command. The Moses who led the people of Israel. The Moses who had the Ten Commandments. And if you remember, as we'll celebrate during the Epiphany time, at the end of Epiphany, the Moses who was with Christ on that mountain during his transfiguration, the Moses. Was there a weak time in Moses' life that he had to cry and call upon and saying, Lord, help me? We have it in our text. The people were crying out for meat. They were tired of this manna, this bread all day long that God was providing. And so Moses, you can sort of see it and hear it in his voice. As he sits there and says, did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? You know? They keep crying. He says, I cannot carry all these people by myself. And that was the problem. He was trying to carry the burden of all these people, trying to be the solution giver to all these people. He even names it, I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. I can just picture, I'm assuming here, the Lord's mind. Finally, Moses finally gets it. He's not God, is he? Then he needs help from the Almighty God, and so he's going to the right person at the right place at the right time. When he finally realizes he needs help, he's going to God and offering up this prayer and petition. Now, unfortunately, he does sort of put a little bit of a personal twist to this. He says, if this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now. He must really be at the end of his rope. And how many of us haven't ever been there? You know, the burden that we face in our daily lives. How many times have we not been at the end of the rope and saying, Lord, I can't handle anymore? We all have to face different burdens. So think for a moment, what burdens are you facing right now? And because of these burdens, what are we unable to do? Moses was having a hard time leading the people of Israel at this point. And so what did God do after he sort of fessed up that he can't do it? After he finally realizes that he's not God, did God chastise Moses at this point? The answer is no. Instead, God provides the solution. Find 70 men who you know to be good men, good reputation, faithful, and we'll make them elders. And we'll find out later in this chapter, if you want to read Numbers 11, God sends quail. Satisfies the people of Israel's desire for meat. Notice what our Lord did. He didn't abandon Moses because Moses didn't abandon him. Moses could have turned his back on the Lord and said, fine, Lord, if this is how you're going to treat me, your called servant, I'm just going to leave. I'll go back to Egypt. Or I'll go someplace else. No, Moses takes his concern to the Lord. Likewise, the Lord answers Moses and blesses Moses and blesses the elders around. Again, we see a little bit of jealousy coming up near the end of our text. We have Joseph, son of Nun, and picking up by Moses' own words, must have been a little jealous. This was Moses' right-hand man, and now all of a sudden he's feeling a little threatened because there are 70 other elders prophesying. And Moses answers him, "Are you jealous for my sake?" It sort of begs the question, maybe Joseph, son of Nun, was a little jealous for his own sake. His time of leadership would come, but it wasn't this time at this place. And see, that's also part of our human nature. Our own jealousy, our own sinful nature creates more burdens upon us. So now that we have these burdens, what do we do with them? Because I think you'd be lying if you would say, "Pastor, I really don't have any burdens. Life is fantastic." And if actually you actually said that to me and you said you had no burdens at all, I'd probably really caution you and say, "Why are you here then?" Let's pick up some other passages of Scripture to sort of bring together my point. First of all, from the Psalms, let me start with Psalm 38, verse 4. The psalmist writes, "For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." So the psalmist already notes in chapter 38 that, yes, we're going to have burdens and they're going to be too much for me. So chapter 55, verse 22, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." So here we have the psalmist picking up on what happened with Moses. And what happens in our lives is, yes, God does put burdens upon us, but then he also lifts us. Why? God is trying to show us something very, very important that our sermon hymn was reflecting in stanza 2. Let me give you the answer, and then I'll read the sermon text, or the hymn stanza. The answer is God uses these troubles and burdens to draw us closer to him. Let me first illustrate with this hymn text. Hymn 756, "Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me?" Stanza 2 says, "When life's troubles rise to meet me, though their weight may be great, they will not defeat me. God, my loving Savior, sends them. Who knows all my woes, knows how best to end them." Now notice the theology here in that hymn stanza. It says we have a loving, gracious God who sends me trouble. That's what we just got through singing. So do you want to sing that hymn again? Is that really how God operates? The answer is yes. Let me explain it this way. C.S. Lewis had a beautiful illustration about this point. The point he's trying to make is that in the midst of troubles and burdens, what happens to our prayer life? Typically, we get closer to God. We're saying, "God, help me, help me, help me." But when things are going extremely well, we may get a little overconfident and stop asking for God for help. This doesn't do the Christian any good. God wants the opposite. He wants us always to be going to him, to realize that, yes, he is our Savior. So let me quote from C.S. Lewis here. He uses this illustration. He says, "I behave like a puppy when the hated bath is over. I shake myself as dry as I can and race off to reacquire my comfortable dirtiness. If not in the nearest manure heap, at least in the nearest flower bed. And this is why tribulations cannot cease until God either sees us remade or sees that our remaking is now hopeless." What C.S. Lewis is trying to illustrate is that same concept, is that through our troubles and burdens, the Christian is really put up with a challenge. Am I going to think I can do it by myself? Or do I need to rely on some help from a God? From a Savior, from the one who defeated sin, death, and the devil upon the cross. And by the way, that's not something you could have done. If he is able to relieve our burden by his death and resurrection on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins so that we can be with heaven above, don't you think that he's concerned about your little burdens you're facing right now? Yes, they may appear to be big burdens to you. I don't want to discount that. But compared to sin, death, and the devil, they are a small burden. And the answer is, yes, God does care, even for small burdens. He says in Matthew chapter 11, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Notice what Jesus says here in Matthew 11. He doesn't say, you know, put your faith and trust in me and you'll have no burdens at all. No, he says, take my yoke upon you. That's an implication that, yes, as a Christian, we will have burdens. But this burden is different. It's light. It's easy. What is our Lord trying to communicate with him, with us? Is the fact that while we put our faith and trust in Him, the greatest burden of sin, death, and the devil is lifted from us, and God will even give us strength for these smaller burdens that we are hanging on to. What C.S. Lewis is trying to teach us is that maybe these smaller burdens that we are hanging on to are there to remind us on how good and gracious God is. Do we serve a good and gracious God? The answer is yes. Look what happened to Moses. God didn't chastise Moses. Instead, God provided the answer. More elders and provided meat. God didn't abandon Moses, but was waiting for Moses to put his trust, even in the Lord. Does that mean that those who are saints, those powerhouse, so to speak, of biblical figures, the great patriarchs, there are times in their lives where they feel a little lost? They feel a little directionless? The answer is yes. And if those great and mighty men of faith feel directionless and lost at times, what about you and me? We also will feel that way. Let me give you some more illustrations of this. First of all, the Old Testament prophet of Jeremiah. In the midst of his ministry of proclaiming God's word, he came up with this in verse 20, verse 7. "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed." Notice Jeremiah says, "Wait a minute, Lord, you deceived me." And Elijah said in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness," referring to Elijah, "came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, 'It is enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's.'" What were these prophets and Moses talking about? They were facing the burden of the work of the ministry. Martin Luther also faced that burden. He's quoted in saying, "No good work is undertaken or done with wise reflection." And what Luther is referring to is what happens when you volunteer for something. For those of you who are connected in the church, for those of you who teach Sunday school, vacation Bible school, for those of you who are leaders in the church, for the elders, for the worship assistants, for those who sing, for those who play, for those who do anything into the church, whether it be cleaning, if you volunteer for something, what happens? A burden is placed upon you. And so Luther says, "No good work or volunteerism is undertaken or done with wise reflection. It must all happen in a half sleep," Luther says. Because he says, "This is how I was forced to take up the office of teaching." You would think that the office of teaching would be a wonderful thing to do. But Luther, and I agree with Luther, realized that it's a hard burden. He goes on, he says, "If I had known what I know now, 10 horses wouldn't have driven me to it. Moses and Jeremiah also complained that they were deceived." Now, you have to understand, this next line is a little bit of humor from Martin Luther. A little bit of humor here. "Nor would any man take a wife if he first gave real thought to what might happen in marriage and the household." Okay, guys, don't laugh too hard. Your wife is sitting next to you. Okay, but let's think about it this way. For those of you who are parents, if you understood the burden and the responsibility that those little ones, those cute, adorable little ones, as they start growing up, for those of you who have adult little ones now, would you have given it a second thought? No, please don't answer, just in case if your little ones are around you. Sometimes, as Luther says, we go into things half-blinded. Fair enough, otherwise we probably wouldn't do it if we truly understood the cost, especially nowadays with the cost of things, and I don't even want to think of college because then I'll be disturbed. I have two little ones at home. That's okay. The Lord will provide, is my answer here. And that also should be our answer whenever the burden of whatever we're facing is coming upon us. Let me share with you another personal thing. Many of you know I just returned last weekend from a vacation in which I was visiting with one of my grandmothers. I have two grandmothers still this side of heaven, and both have taken a little bit of a different route in approaching something. As you can tell, I'm in my 40s, so that means they're in their 80s, if not a little bit older, but we won't go there for right now. And as we get a little older, we sometimes need to become more dependent upon somebody. But we like our independence. I think you know what I'm getting to. Both were kind of faced with this decision. They could no longer take care of themselves. They both chose two different responses. One finally said, okay, you're right, it's time for me to leave. I can't take care of myself. I'll move in with somebody. And the other one, let me just say, went kicking and screaming. What about you? When you are faced with burdens and heavy chances, when your stubbornness is met because you can no longer do it yourself, are you willing to admit that you need someone? If you have a hard time with this, let me challenge your faith right now. Do you really need a Savior? Yes, I know we've been raised to be independent people. But now, what would happen if Moses would have said, don't worry, Lord, I can handle this problem. Just give me some time to think. I'll work it out. People of Israel may have never made it to the promised land. Needless to say, God doesn't want us to suffer all these burdens alone. He doesn't want us to suffer miserably thinking that we can handle it all by ourselves. He invites us to come to Him with our prayers and the concerns. He invites us to be drawn closer to Him. And this is why we gather. To receive God's Word. To grow in that faith. To be encouraged. And to encourage one another. You see, God can use brothers and sisters in Christ just like you to encourage other people who are facing and experiencing heavy burdens. Just as Moses was lifted and encouraged by the Word of God, we also are lifted and encouraged by the Word of God. And if we need more help, God provides that too. Because very often we come to our and we kneel before the altar and we receive the very true body and blood of Christ with that bread and wine. Christ Himself is with us and we will consume that bread and wine again for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins, to remind us of the greatest burden of all humanity being lifted from us. We have in that bread and wine. Boy, that's really a power-packed bread and wine. But it's ordinary bread and wine. It's only packed with the power of God. Can His Word accomplish that much? What happened to our text? The Spirit of the Lord came upon the elders, even the two elders who weren't even at the tent of meeting, who were still in the camp. God also later sent quail. The people of Israel made it to the promised land. Can God take whatever burden you have and use it to draw you closer to Him? The answer is yes. And in the end, what is really the most important thing? If you think how long our burdens last, maybe a year or two, maybe 5 years, 10 years, maybe our entire life of 70, 80, 90, 100 years, and then think of the gift of eternal life lasting forever, we understand what our epistle reading is trying to remind us when he says you're just a mist. Compared to all of eternity, a mist that's here for a moment and then gone when the sun rises. So likewise, so do our burdens. Our ultimate trust and place is not placed in what we have done, but our trust is placed in what God has done, what He did on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So this day we give great praise and thanks for a God who is loving and caring. He doesn't make our life complete by saying, you won't have any burdens at all. He makes our life complete by saying, I have prepared a place for you in heaven above. I have forgiven you your sins. I will be with you to help you each and every day of your pilgrimage here on earth so that you can be with me in heaven above. That is the God we've come to give great praise and thanks to. In His name, amen. Now the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be with you in all places, in all times. Amen.